And we will make America great again. Thank you, Ohio. Get out and vote.
Again. Thank you, Florida. Thank you, Florida.
Walk away from the hate, we're all human, and we don't segregate just like women. I'll make America great, we are all in this together. The colors of red, white, and blue, and they stand for every one of you, and together, here's what we're gonna do, we're gonna make America great.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is October the 25th in the year 2020. Welcome again. If you're listening to me, obviously you know how to listen to me. But if you don't know how to listen to me, and you're getting this psychically instead of over the air, then you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, and you scroll down, and you will see all the different ways to listen to me. Just pick a podcast venue, and I'm on it. Pandora, iHeartRadio, Alexa, I don't care what it is. There's Spotify. There's a bunch of different ones out there. You can also listen to me on your phone. It's not toll-free. It's area code 641-741-0371. 641-741-0371. You can listen in the chat room. You go to armchairsurvivalist.com, and at the top of the page, you will see the links. There's two links up at the top of the page. One says, listen to my show live Sunday in the chat room, because my show is on every Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, 3 to 5 p.m. Mountain time, 4 to 6 p.m. Central time, 5 to 7 p.m. for those of you on the left coast or East Standard time. Okay, so you can listen to it that way. Or if you miss the show, like tomorrow, you wake up and you go, oh crap, I forgot to listen to Kurt yesterday. Well, there's another link right there at the top of any page. Listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. You click here, and you will hear the most recent show. Now, on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that. That takes you to a page titled The Armchair Survivalist Past Shows, and that will show you all of the shows for the current year. And I'm looking at that right now, and you know, I've only had 4 replays. That's pretty good. So that's where you can go to hear the shows and all of this neat stuff. Now, I'll be mentioning the word show notes in my all of my shows. I'll tell you, go to show notes page. On the left-hand side of armchairsurvivalist.com, you'll see links, home, chat room, show notes, Survival Enterprises. That's my company. Show notes, you go there. You will see a chronological list of all the different shows I have done for the current year. And it will tell you, I'll give you a little blurb on what each show is about. Let's say you want to find out about non-lethal self-defense. Well, you go to that page and you'll see September 13th, non-lethal self-defense. And you click on that and you actually will see the links to all everything I talked about, every category, economy, food, health, or the COVID crap, Islam, cult of insanity, liberal psychosis, government threat, Trump. And then down at the bottom will be the title of the show, and it'll have links to different things, like on this show, non-lethal self-defense, tear gas, pepper spray, burglar blaster, burglar bombs, electroshock weapons, batons, walking sticks, canes, all kinds of stuff like that. So there's all the information for you. Let's get on with the business now for Survival Enterprises. Now, you can go to SE1.us. That's Samuel Edwards, the numeral one, SE1.us, and you can see what we have for sale at Survival Enterprises. And I'm going to talk about this during the show, as I have every show for the past 8 months, but we're running out of things in the United States. We're running out of products. This is real. It's not just food, and I'll talk about it later, but I'm telling you guys, just man to man or man to woman or man to whatever the hell you think you are, if you see something that you need or want, buy it. Do not think about it. Just get it, because it's not going to be there tomorrow. Anyway, we're closing out Swedish bitter herbs, the dried herbs. We've been selling Swedish bitters. Swedish bitters is a concoction that's been around over 500 years. It does magic. You go to SE1.us and you click on health and then scroll down for Swedish bitters and you'll see what I'm talking about. We have two types. We've been importing the dried herbs themselves, which you take and you add to alcohol and you steep it for a month or so. Or we have the concentrate, which is all ready to use. And you just put like 5 to 10 drops in a glass of water whenever you eat. Okay. We're closing out, we have already sold all of the dry herbs. So that's no longer going to be available on our website, and that'll be taken down in the next day or so. These products come out of Germany, and it's too difficult and cumbersome now to be importing large things like this. We've been selling them for 20 years, and when we get an order in from Germany, first off, it's a bundle, weighs about 250 pounds. It goes to customs. It goes into their lockdown, because every single damn time they think it's drugs being brought into the country. These people are just dumb as a bag of rocks. So I have to go drive 100 miles to convince them this isn't marijuana or any other drug. They poke a hole in the bag and they smell it, and they start coughing and sneezing instantly, so they think it's a drug. I mean, give me a break. So we're tired of it, and we're done with it, and it's too difficult to get it out of the country anyway, out of Germany anyway. We're still going to be carrying the Swedish bitter concentrate, okay? That's a liquid. We're still going to be carrying that. I don't want any emails from you guys saying, oh, you're no longer carrying Swedish bitters. Listen, we're carrying the concentrate. We're not carrying the dried herbs. That's the difference. That's it. No more. All right, now we're going to get into the economy. Under the economy, we've been listening to the communists give us a bunch of crap about how, well, 8 million new people have now succumbed into poverty since May. It's all Trump's fault. See, don't you know? 8 million new people have slipped into poverty. Poverty, according to the UN, is anyone that makes less than $26,000 a year. There's many times in my life that I wish to hell I'd made $26,000 a year. But here's the key. They're leaving out. And this is how a communist has a conversation with somebody, and this is how they give data. They leave out the important things, and they just give you a few of the highlights. You know, it's like a story, and I'll tell you this story. Okay, so we got Chuck Schumer and McConnell are out fishing in a rowboat. They're about 100 feet off the shore, and they're just sitting there, you know, and they got their lines in the water, and Schumer pulls in his line, and he goes, oh, I lost my bait, and he grabs the worm can, and he looks in there and shakes it and says, we're out of worms. It's your turn. So Mitch puts his pole down, picks up the can, and he stands up and he looks around and doesn't see anybody, so he carefully walks over the water into shore, and he knocks over a bunch of rocks and some logs there and picks up a bunch of grubs and some worms and puts them back in a can, and he goes back to the shoreline and he looks around again, doesn't see anybody, and slowly walks on the water back to the rowboat, and they sit down there and they continue fishing. Unbeknownst to both of them, there was a CNN reporter hiding in the dunes there. Next day it broke worldwide. Republicans can't swim. So this is how the communists do this, okay? 8 million Americans slipped into poverty since May. Where'd they get that data? From every state that has a communist in charge of it. New York City is the biggest criminal activity of that. They put people, they order them to stay home. They order the businesses to close. They order all of this. And what do sheep do? They do what their shepherd tells them to do. So now you got 8 million more people. And it's a domino effect, okay? So it's like there is in New York City, there's an office building, and it has 15 different big corporations in it. And each corporation has its own floor, and each floor employs maybe 100 people. So you got all of these people. There's 1,000 people plus in this building. And what they do is on their lunch break, they go downstairs and they go to the deli next door, they go to McDonald's across the street, or they go and put some clothes into the laundromat, or they do all kinds of different things in the local area. Well, now the communists in charge in New York City said, everybody go home, nobody can work. So not only is that building with 15 corporations in it have nobody in it now, because they're half of them are now working from home. But what they're doing when they're working from home is they're not going downstairs to the delicatessen or the laundromat or any of the other businesses in the local area. So all of those businesses are now closed as well. This is why they claim 8 million Americans have slipped into poverty since May. If you look at the statistics, you'll find that those happen in states, again, that are controlled by communists, not the Republicans. Now, when I was a kid, there was this business. Now, I could never wear their clothes because I always had, my muscles were always too large to wear their clothes. The Gap, it's a clothes store for soy boys and pretty girls. And it's been in all the malls for 30 years. They're leaving. 350 stores are closing down from malls. Now, they don't say they're going out of business. They say they're closing the stores in the malls. They're probably going to reopen it just on storefront somewhere. Who knows? Now, beginning of the show, I was talking about the supply chain. I was talking about items that aren't getting here, that people are not receiving. This is everything from filters, oil filters for cars, to fishing lures. It's everything's being restricted, and we're not getting them. This is a thing that's happening in every industry there is. Here at Survival Enterprises, some of our biggest sellers that we have, we can't get the ingredients for. So like our multiple vitamin or Ultimate Daily, it's so hard to get the ingredients for it. We can make a batch of it maybe twice a year, and that's it. And then it go out of there, they're gone. I can't get it anymore. We have no prediction on what we're going to get, when we're going to get it. And that's the same thing everywhere. And that includes shoes. That includes underwear. That includes, see, we don't make anything in America anymore, problematically. So the underwear is made in Sri Lanka. Your t-shirts are made in Taiwan. Your phones are made in China. There's all of these things, and there's more. There's so much stuff, it's ridiculous. My engineer was telling me he wanted a new freezer. So he figured, hell, I'll just go down to Lowe's and get a new freezer. And he goes down to Lowe's and says, I need a new freezer. And I say, get in line. There's a six-month wait. So there's a problem. This is why I say, if you think you're going to need something, buy it now. There's more sources than just the stores around. You can go to Craigslist. You can go to eBay. You know, people have something, and they put it up for sale on Craigslist or eBay. That means they have it right there in their hands. Yes, maybe you're going to get something used, but at least they have it there. Speaking of communists in charge, Chicago's broke. Chicago has, I think it's a female. I'm pretty sure it's a female that runs Chicago. That's the mayor. I'm not sure about anything else, but when I look at her, I really want to make sure that nobody says Beetlejuice three times when they're around her. That's what she reminds me of that. Anyway, it's broke. Chicago's broke. So now this is just a little bit of a warning to everybody who lives in a communist-controlled city, county, state. Okay, they have a $1.2 billion budget deficit. That's not the country. That's Chicago. $1.2 billion deficit. So they got to get the money somewhere. What are they going to do? Well, they could lay off the employees for 5 days at a time. They could shift the cost of stuff onto the books of the public school system, raise the cloud computing tax. You know, people are, here's the thing. If you store your stuff on the cloud, they're actually charging you tax in Chicago. They can lay off over 350 civic employees. There's all kinds of stuff. But the big thing they're going to do is they're going to raise your taxes. They're going to raise your taxes to the tune of, you're going to look at your taxes and go, what the hell? That's more than I pay on my mortgage. Yeah, you're going to see that. This is just Chicago. Everywhere else in the United States that's ran by a communist is going to do the same exact thing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's just the way it's going to be. All right, now we're going to get into the Food and Health Department. We're going to get into health first. And an article came out, which, by the way, was banned on Facebook for harmful ideas, except this came out from the CDC. There are items that mysteriously actually kill the coronavirus. Mouthwash. Simple mouthwash. You can have a mouthful of virus. Take a tablespoon of any kind of mouthwash, swish it around in there, and after 30 seconds, there's no coronavirus there. It's dead. Doctors have been using baby shampoo, big time diluted, in what's called a neti pot. This is where it douches out your sinuses, your nose, and it kills coronaviruses. Now, I'm not saying COVID-19, because, well, we can't test COVID-19 because nobody has a sample of it because they can't find it. So there's things out there. This is why your mother said, wash your hands. You know, clean your face. Don't play with your face. Stop picking at that. If you do common sense things, you can keep yourself healthy. Wash your hands after you've brushed your teeth. Use a little bit of mouthwash. Keep your face clean. What we do here at colloidal, Survival Enterprise, we have colloidal silver. It's a pharmaceutical grade. And we have it in a little spritzer bottle we carry around with us. And we spray our eyes. If we're in an area where it's smoky or a lot of people there, you spray your eyes. Because here's the thing. You're not infected through breathing. That's all BS. And it's been proven. This wearing mask is not going to stop you from getting infected. What you are infected, the way you're infected, is through the eyes. And it's not by the air getting in your eyes. It's because you pick it up, a virus, a bacteria, whatever, on your hands. And then you scratch your eye. Or you pick at your teeth. Or you pick your nose. Or any number of things. You pass diseases from your hands. So do the normal things. Wash your hands. Use some mouthwash. I remember, and this here's the sad thing. Listerine. Listerine is one of the most powerful antimicrobials known to man. And they used to advertise, will kill bacteria and viruses in the mouth, 99.9%. Well, the deep state sued Listerine for that claim and said, you can't prove it. Well, now it's proven. Let's see. Speaking of communists in charge again, New York City, and I gave a little blurb on this last week. The mayor of New York City, Cuomo the commie, has decided that Christians and Jews are bad and evil, and he is going to make damn sure they don't meet in groups at all for no reason. But not Muslims. Muslims are different. Muslims are okay. Muslims can actually participate in holy holidays down the streets of Manhattan, 1,000 at a time. Now, everything I talk about, I have a link to. And I mentioned this earlier, show notes. You go to show notes, you'll find it. You'll find all these links. Macy's, for the first time in 160 years, is not going to have a Santa Claus. 160 years, not going to have a Santa Claus. There's an underlying plan here, and I'm sure the majority of you have already discovered what most of it is, and it's the destruction of all things American. We got something happening here in Idaho. People are under the misconception that Idaho is one of the last bastions of freedom. It's not. People here in Idaho are complacent, just like everywhere else. They're so complacent that they actually allowed a rhino to become governor here. Even, you know, he's a Republican in name only, who immediately brought in the UN's communist form of schooling called Common Core. And his wife works for Prozac, promoting psychotropic drugs for children. And this rhino governor, who is now no longer here, we have now another rhino governor. This previous rhino governor also initiated what's known as universal building codes, again, from the UN. So here in Idaho, we have to build or tear down things in accordance with the UN's universal building code. So whatever we do here, it has to be approved somewhere in Ireland or somewhere in East Brunswick. I mean, it's asinine. So we're not as free as you think. But he also allowed all the teachers to join the National Education Association. It's a well-known communist organization. So what's happening up here now in the whole state of Idaho? Thousands of teachers are walking out because they're going back to school. The kids are going back to school now, and the teachers don't want that. Then if they went back to school, the teachers would actually have to work for a living instead of sitting on their butts at home with a monitor on, sitting there going, and this is what are these five black dots equal? Oh, that equals five. Yes, yes. No, they're going to have to work for a living now, and they don't want that. So this is the NEA, National Education Association, communist organization. Teachers are walking out. So the students are not going to be able to be taught at school. They're going to have to still be taught at home. Now, that's a double-edged sword because I believe in homeschooling. all you get when you get into school is you become associated with bullies and prostitutes and drugs and psychotics and the teachings of communism. Whereas you can go home and all you get have to worry about then is the teachings of communism. And that's why parents, it's mandatory that you pay attention to what the hell your kid's learning. And that's in Idaho. Now, let's see. And that's under health. And the only reason I put that under health is because they're claiming it's a pandemic is causing this, blah, blah, blah. And if you think it's bad in the United States, you got to go to Australia. Australia is gone pure communistic. There are different counties in Australia, and it's against the law to cross the border from one county to the next. So if babies are born in one county that have heart defects, it's illegal to transfer them to the next county, which has cardiac hospital there for newborns. So far, four newborn babies have died. They just simply look at them till they're dead. Four newborn babies are dead now because they can't get into that hospital. South Korea came up with a great idea. We're going to make damn sure nobody gets the flu here in South Korea. So their brilliant idea was to forcibly give flu shots to all the citizens in South Korea. So far, 9 people have died. Oh, by the way, the U.S. government has created a new court for COVID vaccine injuries. You know, there is a court now. It's not a normal court. It's a secret court. It's run by the pharmaceutical companies that if you die or somebody you love dies or becomes neurologically impaired or their backbone rots out from a vaccination, you can claim damages. Well, they covertly created the new court for COVID vaccine injuries. And again, I have links to it. You'll see it. I'm following all of these vaccine trials. These different companies are having trials all through the world. AstraZeneca, they can't hide it. See, most of these companies, if they have a problem, they say, well, there was a serious health side effect. And they don't tell you what it was. Well, AstraZeneca is doing tests in Brazil. You can't hide it in Brazil. They don't allow it. So people are dying from the test. So AstraZeneca shut down. Well, now they're being allowed to start up again because they feel, oh, yeah, you know what? We had one molecule too much of this aluminum hydrate in there. Yeah. Every single company that's creating this vaccine, every single one, has had to shut down because of adverse side effects. And they only use those terms. They don't say died. They don't say this man died. And here's the other thing. What kind of parent would allow 10, 12-year-old, 14-year-old children to be guinea pigs for these pharmaceutical companies? But that's what they're doing. They were even bragging about it this morning on CNN. 10-year-old boy getting tested. Well, they got to do about 100,000 people to see how well they live. That's the thing. It's 100% acceptable if only 250 people die out of 100,000. That's insane. A few months ago, the Communist UN came up with this idea of an immunity passport. Well, it's taken place and it's going to be testing starting next Wednesday. It's the immunity passport, and what it is on your phone, and it basically has your whole health history on there, plus if you've been tested. Like if you want to fly faster, you go somewhere and you get a test, and they have a QR code that you can scan, and it'll input the test onto your cell phone, and when you go to the ticket booth to buy your ticket, you just show him this code. He scans it and goes, oh, yeah, you're okay to fly because you've had a test. They want that on everybody's. They want that on everybody's cell phone, everything, everyone. You want to fly? You're going to end up having to show him this test. You know, Costco's selling the PCR test now. And I've already explained, and so have many doctors, the PCR test is not an individual test for any coronavirus. All it checks for is any coronavirus, the common cold, or any of the other 437 coronaviruses that humans have. But Costco's now selling it. I think it's $129. So if you're an idiot, go get it. This is unique. If you think that nothing new can be discovered, this is a unique thing that was discovered in the human body. Scientists discovered a mysterious organ in the center of the human head. They're not sure exactly. Now, this isn't a joke. This is real. They're not sure exactly what it is. It's right at the rear of the nasopharynx. It's just basically behind the nose and down a hair. It looks like if you took a 6-inch long string and you grabbed it in the center and held it up, that's what this organ looks like. And everyone has it. They have no idea what it is. It could be a giant salivary gland. They don't know. They're figuring it out now. So if any of you guys have any ideas on what this thing is, other than jokes, let me know. I have an article on it, and it's sciencealert.com, and they were talking about this. They have no idea what this thing is, and it was just discovered. All right, now we've got to get into food. There's food shortages happening all over the world. Any of you been to Korea, South or North Korea, or lived in an apartment complex where South Koreans now live, you understand the stench of kimchi. We used to have a Korean on both sides of us in the apartment that we lived in Los Angeles. I could not go out that front door, period. It would knock a buzzard off a crap wagon. That's how bad that stuff was. But there's a shortage of cabbages in South Korea. There's a shortage of all kinds of different food all throughout the world. And one country has an excuse for it. Another country has a different excuse. Another country has a different excuse. You've heard the term climate change. Well, this is real. The climate on Earth has changed every day for the past million years. And it's real. It's just, it happens. It's just not something that people want to grasp. They use climate change as a political leverage. And the mainstream media is blaming COVID. And I've mentioned, and so has the Ice Age Farmer mentioned about how people are being told they can't work anymore. They're being ordered out of the field. And this is what's happening in the communist-controlled states. They're telling you can't pick corn, you can't pick this, you can't do that. That could be part of it, but the main thing is that diminishing solar activity is a cause. I tried growing garlic this year, which any idiot can grow. I would say after a couple months, they just died. That's it, dead. So we got snow on the ground now here in North Idaho, and I'll see what happens next year. But we have, as a matter of fact, down the street from me is a 20 by 20 plot that a church uses, and their members come there and they work in it, and they plant stuff and they share the bounty. They didn't even use it this year. They tried planting some stuff. Sunflower seeds. I mean, anybody can plant sunflower. Sunflowers, they didn't go to seed. They just grew. Picture a big sunflower out there. I'm talking 6 inches in diameter. No seeds inside of it. So there's a lot of stuff happening. And one of the things is the corn. There's reasons. There's so many reasons now it's ridiculous. There's floods and there's droughts that have stopped corn growing throughout the United States. And the sad thing is the majority of corn is crap corn. And you picture an ear of corn that's only about 3 inches, 4 inches tall, and it's brown on one side and green on the other. The gross stuff. They use it to make ethanol with. So the good stuff is I think only about 40% of the corn grown is for eating, either for feed for animals or for humans, or for using for humans. Coca-Cola uses a lot. In fact, all drink companies, they use a lot of high fructose corn syrup. Well, it's a shortage. Coca-Cola now is closing down 200 of its brands. And if you drink Tab out there, well, you're not going to get it anymore. Buy it up now. So a lot of the different companies are closing down a lot of the brands. It's a shortage of the high fructose corn syrup. Now back to New York City. New York City has a food shortage there. This is a domino effect of the communist Cuomo that's in charge of New York City and shut everything down. They have a food crisis there. Why? Well, hell, the bakeries are closed down. The butcher shops are closed down. Come on. So there's a food crisis in New York City. They've always had food lines there. And now there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people on a daily basis. That's where they get their food. They can't move. They don't have the money to move out of New York City. They're stuck there. The next time I report on there, you're going to be hearing about people who are dying from starvation. Or you'll be hearing that from the Democrats when they want to try to blame everything on the Republicans. China doesn't have enough vegetables and fruits to go around. Food shortages are hitting China. China's doing this on purpose, though. Last show, both I and the Ice Age Farmer told you that China is shutting down harvesting of meat. They're shutting down raising meat animals, like chickens and the coconut rat and everything. Everything. They're shutting it down. I don't know what's going on in their mind other than, well, this is a quick way to get rid of half the world's population. Kill them. Let them starve. Yeah, I hope all of you who have been listening to me for years stored food. Because if you didn't, oh well. I'm talking about another article. Floods, drought, destroying crops, sparking food inflation. Cost of food going up. I cannot believe some of the costs. Literally, last year I was buying yellow onions. Crops out of Washington State. Yellow onions on sale, 29 cents, 35 cents a pound. Now, on sale, 99 cents. And they're crap onions. The problem we have in the fruits and vegetables, this is everywhere, unless you go to a farmer's market, is that the stuff is picked weeks ahead. They just had a sale on grapes at Super One Food here. $1.98 a pound. That's a sale, all right? $1.98 a pound for grapes. Now, these grapes are the size of an Aggie marble. They're big. They're not normal-sized grapes. These are big grapes with no flavor, no taste. I got red grapes, green grapes, purple grapes, and they all taste the same. There's no taste. Speaking of no taste, Jack in the Box is testing a plant-based chicken sandwich. I guarantee you it's going to be as expensive as a real chicken sandwich, but it's made out of, I don't know, who knows what it is, some kind of vegetable matter. I haven't looked at the ingredient list on it, but a plant-based chicken sandwich. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with eating that. I like those bean burgers and mushroom burgers and all that good stuff. But I don't like the idea that the Great Reset is going to be forcing us to eat that crap. Now, this corn shortage is major, and I'm going to let the Ice Age farmer explain it to you.
The media is now reporting corn shortages at the supermarket. And while they're blaming coronavirus, because that's what they blame everything on, right? That's why you're locked at home with a face diaper on your head, and it's why we're taking away your cash and having a Great Reset now, yes. But the reality is, though, that the sun's output is dropping off into a grand solar minimum, and that is responsible for a lot of what's going on. And in fact, it's driving the timetable for these aggressive moves by the technocrats to take over the food supply and everything. And indeed, Fox is reporting that you can add corn to the list of supermarket staples that have become elusive during the COVID-19 crisis. They go on to say that it's because people bought a lot of canned corn at the beginning, and while big canning companies Del Monte and Green Giant tried as they might to get farmers to plant more, sweet corn growers had already made their plans for the year, and so what we have is what we got. They talk about how there were also problems transporting the crops because trucking companies had fired a bunch of their truckers, but again, all of this is really nonsense compared to the bottom line, which is that last year we had immense flooding at the beginning of the growing season that prevented a lot of farmers from even getting into the fields and planting their soybeans and corn. It was a record by a factor of four, a record prevent plant acres. We'll read here from this piece. Historic flooding in the early spring and record rainfall across portions of the corn belt led many in the industry to expect prevent plantings, i.e. the failure to plant a crop, to reach record highs in 2019. And the latest crop reports bear that out, meaning, yes, we didn't get the corn we needed last year. And in fact, the USDA's numbers that were reported then were still too high. They've continued to retroactively whittle those numbers down so that they didn't create panic initially, but now they're retroactively adjusting those. Last year was a real disaster in terms of, it was known as the harvest from hell and no plant 19. And that's why it was quite clear, even back in January, when all this virus nonsense started, I made the assertion, this has nothing to do with the coronavirus. This is about the food, and specifically the fact that that crop is not there. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a crystal ball or any smarts whatsoever. This is because it was an entirely predictable scientific reality that the sun goes through natural cycles known as these grand solar minima that have an outsized effect on crop production. Time and time throughout history, and the Dalton minimum and the Maunder minimum before us, you see that there were immense crop failures and people dying of starvation. And underscoring that, because it's one thing to have Christian on the Ice Age Farmer talking about it, but here's a peer-reviewed study out of Canada, Ray Garnett's team, is diminishing solar activity detrimental to Canadian prairie agriculture? Well, spoiler alert, yes, it is. During the grain-growing months of May through July, the mean temperatures on the prairies has cooled by 2 degrees Celsius during the last 30 years. You sure won't read that in any mainstream media. It's always the hottest year ever. No, we're cooling. This cooling appears to be most certainly linked to diminishing solar activity as the sun approaches a grand solar minimum in the next decade or so. The cooling has led to a reduction in growing degree days, or GDD, and also has impacted precipitation. The GDDs, in conjunction with the temperatures and the precipitative patterns, are important to growing crops. It has an effect on our agriculture, on our food supply. In this new study, we investigate the impact of the declining growing degree days and the temperature and precipitative changes on the prairie grain yields and quality. The analysis shows that we've already lost 100 growing degree days over the last years since 1985. Our analysis suggests grain yields and quality could be significantly impacted in the coming years as solar activity continues to diminish. That's the same thing we've heard from Valentina Zarkova, that there would be shortages of food because of the sun dropping off. It's what we've heard from Sean Hackett, who said, we're going to have to find new ways of growing food, but you get the point. Let's read deeper from this study where they look at the fact that solar cycles have been trending downwards since solar cycle 21, you can see back here, and they go on to even take a look at the Dalton minimum and Maunder minimum, which, quote, were part of a cold period between 1650 to 1850, which was stressful for most of Europe. That's one way to put it. With food wars and tens of millions of deaths as a result of extreme cold and a lack of heating and a lack of food as well, if you look back. They then go on to look at the last 40 years here and conclude, in short, when growing degree days fall, it is expected that top grade red spring wheat will fall 30 to 50% with an associated market loss of $250 million for red spring wheat alone. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time we've seen a dollar amount as to the economic damages that the grand solar minimum could incur for crop losses. But more concerningly than the dollars is, because you can print more dollars, is the fact that that food is gone and you can't print more food, not real food at any rate. In their conclusions, they also mentioned that, quote, as the sun approaches a grand solar minimum, there is a risk of the prairies becoming colder and wetter, which is detrimental to grain growth and quality. The study also raises questions about the GDD losses in other high latitude agricultural areas, Northern Europe, Siberia, and even southern areas of Argentina and Chile, which have also been suffering crop losses. The growing degree days measurement is one that we've talked about here, and in fact, I even created this tool, the Grand Solar Minimum Growing Degree Days tool, for you to get a sense, at least in the United States, of how precipitously our growing degree days dropped off from the 2018 season to the 2019 season. I don't have data for 2020. Syngenta locked me out of their system. Go figure. Syngenta's big agriculture. On this tool, which you can get to at iceagefarmer.com/GDD, you can type in a zip code or any state code like Iowa here, and get a list of the counties and then see the difference in GDD measurements from 2018 to 2019. And you can tell it's consistently a double digits loss, which means quantitatively the growing zones are shifting. You can no longer grow corn in some of the areas of the world where we did last year, this year, because there's no heat available. The cooling trend is taking its effect on our crop production. That's why there's a shortage of corn at the supermarket. It has nothing to do with the virus. That's why Canadians described it as a harvest from hell, where they were forced to leave between 40 and 60% of their crops there frozen in the ground after they got an early snowfall, ending any chance of getting any of the crops out of the ground this year. The harvest from hell, because the growing season is shrinking on both sides and the growing zones are moving. Our food supply is feeling the effects of the climate shifting and becoming colder right now. On On top of that, weather warfare is actively being employed by the powers that shouldn't be to accentuate these losses and to accelerate the demise of modern agriculture. Let's take a look specifically at the derecho, which plowed straight through the heart of U.S. corn production there in Iowa to the tune of hundreds of thousands of acres, and still counting. In fact, this latest report, October 10th, indicates that Iowa's derecho crop losses are still racking up, and now it's more than 50% more than was initially estimated by the USDA. Crop loss estimates from the rare windstorm that slammed Iowa in August have increased by more than 50%, a new report shows. The USDA said Friday that the number of acres has now grown to 850,000 unable to harvest acres. Now, this is stunning. If you've been watching on Twitter, though, it's not altogether surprising. We've been seeing stories from people who've just given up. They plowed under their corn crop as it was knocked over right before it was ready to harvest. They're not even able to use it for silage. This is obviously a huge economic disaster for a number of Iowan farmers as well. And it also wasn't just the corn crop that suffered, but the grain silos and the grain elevators that were damaged in this storm. So significant and so 100 miles wide, so huge was this swath of damage that you can literally see it from space. A bright spot here is where the corn was knocked over and damaged. And there's an example of the kinds of grain silo damage. All of this were full of corn, and so on-farm storage, which is the only equivalent of modern strategic grain reserves that the U.S. has at this point, was tremendous losses this year. And we've been seeing that in some of the most recent numbers. The same thing happened roughly the same time, right before the corn was ready to harvest, when it's most prone to be knocked over by strong winds. China had a series of typhoons, again, straight through the heart of their corn-producing area. The impact on corn output is going to be felt long-term, and look at this. The corn output was falling in the top-producing areas by up to 20% of the yields. That's massive. And when we're talking about the United States and China both having double-digit losses to their corn yields, well, these are the two biggest corn producers in the world. This actually moves the needle on the world food supply. This will translate to the shortages into the supermarket, and also, concerningly, to feed shortages for animals, and perhaps even to ethanol problems. There's a number of things where this will manifest. You could not have devised a more perfect weather warfare attack than these series of storms right through the hearts of U.S. and Chinese corn production. This is weather warfare being used, again, to accentuate the losses and accelerate the demise of old agriculture. There's also been problems with the corn stores in China molding. Make no mistake, they are actively concerned about their food security in China. This is why President Xi unveiled the Clean Your Plate initiative, which seeks to minimize food waste and penalize people's social credit score if they throw away too much food or order too big of a pizza and show a picture of it on social media. It pops up using AI facial recognition. You shouldn't be wasting food. You should be respectful of food. They're really putting on the pressure to try and mitigate the food crisis that they know is coming and that we're now starting to see on supermarket shelves. So you need to be preparing for this as well. And that's why when you see these headlines, this is a harbinger of what is to come. There's also been a huge amount of media. This certainly happened in the UK. They said people are stocking up. Please don't stock up. But they kept putting this out in the media until people said, well, maybe I should be stocking up too. And so then they started implementing rationing. And currently, if you go into a store physically or via online order, you are rationed to a limit of items that you can get from a certain product group. So many vegetables, so many fats, these sorts of things. The same thing is now happening in the US media. We've been seeing lots of people are stocking up on food because of fears over this COVID-19 surge, the wave two. We've been seeing from Wall Street Journal, grocers are stockpiling and building pandemic pallets ahead of the winter. This got a lot of press, so you've probably seen that. And now we're even hearing from more food banks, this one from a New Jersey food bank, about how they are literally competing with American consumers to try and get what remains of the food supply before the shortages actually begin. So if you go out right now and try and stock up, you are competing with the government to try and buy food because they want to own it all so that they can give it out to people who are on their dole, who they can force to do whatever they want. Again, as we heard on the Congressional Record, to force compliance to the New World Order agenda and this Great Reset.
And you're going to find that this corn shortage is going to affect so many other things that you eat. Sodas are just one of the things. High fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup, okay? This is a sweetener that's been used for decades. Well, unfortunately, it's full of glyphosate, but that's another story. But you're going to find other things, including animal feed, including dog food. Oh, remember that dog food warning I gave you last week? Turns out that company, Sunshine Brands, it comes out of China. Go figure. I wouldn't eat anything that comes out of China. I haven't eaten anything that comes out of China for the past 5 years. And when I did, I got ptomaine poisoning. All right, now we're getting into liberal psychosis. And this is the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, violence, and fear. You know, I'm not Catholic, but we have good friends that are, and we have a lot of customers that are. There's a lot of Catholics up here, and they're confused. I mean, they have been since this new Pope took over. He's a socialist, but he's also insane, and he's literally anti-Christian. I'm not kidding. He came out and made a big speech to atheists and said, "You don't have to believe in God to go to heaven." Now, I'm going to leave this up to you guys and you figure this stuff out in your own Christian Catholic doctrine thing. All I'm doing is making a reporting. But when this guy, who's supposed to be Christian Uno, he's supposed to be the big honcho, okay? And he comes out and tells all the atheists that hate Christians, you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven. That's just one of the things that he popped out with this week. He also comes out and says, we need to have church-authorized civil unions for same-sex couples. You know, was this guy elected, or did he just show up somewhere from a portal from hell, or I don't know. Anyway, speaking of hell and portals, Facebook, and this is all over the internet, and they've been trying to hide this like you wouldn't believe. As a matter of fact, Tucker Carlson came out on one of his shows, and he explained it very clearly about how Facebook has hired communists from China. The same communist Chinese that do the censoring in China to come and work for him. So they're using Chinese censors. And this is what's happening in the United States. These guys, their comeuppance is coming. This is Twitter and Google and Facebook and YouTube and all of this censorship. It's going to be shut down real fast. But they are actually using communists that they bring in under the H-1B visa program. This is getting worse and worse. The United States is fully under control. All media, including Fox News, is under the control of communist China. They do what they're told. If you want an example of it, go to drudgereport.com. Drudgereport.com is owned by communist China. It's owned by them. We're not even sure Drudge still is alive. But you look at that and you can see this. Everything that's reported on Drudge Report is basically saying how bad Trump is, how bad Americans are, how bad the country is, all of this. That's it. They want to demoralize everyone. That's what the Chinese do. And Facebook is using the Chinese communists who are professionals at it. My son sent me an email, and I'm going to have this figured out next week. My son sent me an email, and it was blocked from my server. And it said, the internet, whatever that was, has determined that this is fake news or spam or something. I didn't understand the whole warning, but nobody knows who the hell these people are, so I'm going to find out next week. His email server, he has his email on my server. So an email was sent from my server to my server and blocked somewhere in between. So I'll find out what the hell that's all about next week, and I'll let you guys know. Now, here's the thing. A former Google CEO who quit, said, "I've had enough of this stuff." He comes out and says, "You know what the social networks are? All of them. There's like 200 different ones or 300. They're amplifiers for idiots." And I see this. I see it in everyone around me that sits on Facebook and just looks at it all day long. Their ability to evaluate importances, priorities, similarities disappears. They will literally look at a satire piece and swear to God it's real. We have lost four generations to stupidity, and it's only getting worse. In fact, up here, and talk about stupid, a very conservative radio station, an ad pops up, and I'm going, what the hell is this? And it's called Life Services Pregnancy Resource Center and Maternity Home. What the hell is... I'm listening to that, and there's a female on there saying, "Yes, I was so upset about having an abortion until I met Life Services and they made everything okay for me." I'm like, what the hell? So I'll have their websites for you. It's lifeservices.org. And they call themselves Christian. And they claim that they're here to help people with pregnancy tests and ultrasounds and early prenatal care and blah, 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 blah. Except what they do is they advocate abortions. And people are stupid enough to listen and believe that. Walmart has redesigned, they're working on this now, and it's a copy of Amazon Store where you don't have to check out. You just use your phone and you check in as you walk in the door with your phone on their app. They have a little scanner there, and that's you. And then every time you want to buy something, you scan it with your phone. It's automatically added to your shopping list. And as you walk out, it checks you out automatically. Walmart is setting that up. Now, this is something I'm just totally baffled by why somebody would want to do this. You walk into Walmart and you scan your phone. And the fact that you scanned your phone is now known by the Department of Homeland Security and every governmental database that accesses this data. And as you walk down, they know what you're looking at. They know where you stop. See, you're walking down the aisle and you stop for a second or 2 seconds or 5 seconds at something. And it could be Jif peanut butter. Well, now you're going to see ads pop up on your phone for Jif peanut butter. Not that you bought it or anything. You just stop there. And they know where everything is on their shelves. So as you scan the stuff that you buy, now the government knows what you're buying. Government knows what credit card you're using that you have at your phone accessing, or what bank account you're using. This whole thing is tracked from start to stop. And now, when you're done, all of this data is sold to other agencies who start popping up ads on your cell phone. This is an astounding method for controlling and propagandizing to people. I'm sure I'll get more into this later. There was, and this is true, he calls himself a transsexual Satanist anarchist. Now, in English, that means a transvestite that graduated high school. Well, he was running for the GOP nomination for sheriff. I don't understand this. Cheshire County, New Hampshire. This guy, when you look at it, you could tell it's a guy with orange and purple long hair wearing a tank top. Its name, and this is, I refer to it as it, is Aria, A-R-I-A, DeMezzo. And he ran with a campaign slogan, F the Police, and says it had expected to lose to a write-in candidate, but instead he won. And he did this, here's the thing, he did this knowing absolutely nothing about what he's going to do. But he's running it because he opposes the very system, and by running, he proves that the system is so broken, it's ridiculous. When nobody pays attention to who the hell they're voting for, they just vote for the ticket, and that's it. They don't know who this guy was. This guy's a fruitcake, but he could end up being a sheriff, and you're going to get what you deserve. Now we're into the black crap. Let's see. Compton, California, from whence all low-life gutter trash gang members seem to emanate, has decided that they're going to test a guaranteed income system for 2 years to 800 people in Compton, California. It's California. What can I say? And here's another thing, San Diego has decided they've discovered the best way to fight racism. This is in the schools, by the way. This is, they're fighting racism in the schools because it's not fair that 23% of blacks get Fs and Ds, 20% of Mexicans get Fs and Ds, but only 7% of whites get Fs and Ds in the grading system. It's not fair. That's obviously racism. Obviously. So they're going to be changing the grading system. They're going to be changing it so that it's more fair to blacks and Mexicans, because it's just not fair that they get all of those F's and failures and that. And the poor whites, they only get 7%. It's just, okay. So now we're going into government threat. Now, the government threat is things that can affect our government or things that the government's doing that can affect us. It's a threat. The NSA, National Security Association, has announced that Chinese hackers are targeting U.S. defense industry. Now, most people go, ooh, that's too bad, except you don't understand what that means. First off, this isn't anything new. Chinese have been trying to hack our defense industry for decades, but they're becoming more and more sophisticated because we're becoming more and more stupid. We're buying more and more parts from China, and we're keeping our crap on the cloud. So the hackers are finding it very easy to hack into nuclear codes, finding it very easy to hack into tracking systems, global positioning systems, and they're not really worried about copying our equipment. They're just worried about gaining control of it once it's in flight. And that's what they're doing. They're looking at that. There's some stuff going on. And if you put two and two together, you're going to start to see the same thing that other people are saying. Marines are island hopping. And this is from military.com. Marines hop islands, set up long-range fires as force preps for clash with China. Okay. Basically, they're testing just what we did in World War II, attacking an island and taking control of an island. There's that. Now, this didn't come up anywhere except in military.com. Now, for the past two or three months, I've been getting data that there has been uniformed Chinese seen marching in Quebec and uniformed Chinese seen marching in British Columbia. Now, that's just two articles, but there were dozens more. And then there were people saying, calling into different shows that they're seeing Chinese in different areas in Canada. Now, they're not seeing, they haven't mentioned that they were armed, just that they were there. Well, there was a movement, trainloads of heavy armor heading out into Maine and going to an island there. And it was coming from Herman, Maine, going to an island in the area called Presque Island. Well, there's nowhere for that for this armor. And we're talking mobile howitzers. This is like tanks in heat. There's nowhere for anything to go from that island. There's no trains going away from that island. There's no way. There's no boats. There's no nothing. So they're arming Presque Island. It's almost as if the United States government is covertly beefing up our border with Canada in the event of a Chinese. That's all I got to say on this. It's just a lot of data on that. All right, now we're getting into the Trump category. You know, the Democrats have been saying all the time there's no such thing as voter fraud. There's never been voter fraud in the United States. Pennsylvania rejected over 372,000 ballots because most of them were duplicates. That's just one. Okay, that's one place. There are dozens being reported all through the United States. It's all ballots being found alongside the road, thrown away. Ballots being found in cars, in the trunks of cars. It's ridiculous. A study has found that 353 U.S. counties in 29 states with voter registration exceeding 100%. Now, what does that mean? That means if there are 1,000 people registered in the county, magically, there's 1,010 people that registered to vote. And guess who controls these counties? These are all communist-controlled counties. This is ridiculous. And we're going to be seeing more and more and more of this. It's just astounding that anybody with any intelligence, you know something? They can look at you right dead in your face, psychopaths, and while they're eating cookies, say, no, I'm not eating any cookies at all. No, you're lying. You're making this up. An elections chairman resigned after him and his wife got caught, a Democrat, of course, got caught stealing Trump signs throughout the county. In Kansas City, there have been reports from Republicans that they've received letters on their door that are threatening them. And this is being looked at now by the FBI for election threats. I mean, you can't do that. Intimidation, election intimidation. Your name has been added. The leaflets speak for themselves, okay? Your address has been added into our database as a target for when we attack should Trump not concede the election. We recommend that you check your home insurance policy and make that it is current and that it has adequate coverage for fire damage. You have been given fair warning. Always remember that it was you that started this civil war. Right. Like the Biden supporter that a couple Trump supporters were driving by with Trump flags on, and they honked at him. He just picked up his shotgun and shot at him. And a bought and paid for by George Soros and the Democrats, Antifa mob attacked a black guy. There was this calm meeting of a bunch of Trump protectors, protectors, defenders, promoters, whatever word you want to use. And the guy that was this meeting together, you can't call it a protest. It was a black guy. So the Antifa mob just swarmed them. I mean, this is astounding. Antifa's paid for, bought and paid for. 90% of the people there are paid for. And they could care less about black or white. They want to stomp everyone. So there was a bunch of Republicans there. This is in Oregon. And twice the number of these Antifa showed up, and they just waited and started beating everyone. And the black guy was trying to protect this white guy and got two of his teeth knocked out. We have, and I never knew this, but we have, it's not in Idaho, it's in Washington State, but they call themselves Pacific Northwest Community Action Network. What this is a communication center for the communists in Washington. And they're telling everyone, we're going to have a week of action, November 4th to the 11th. And they tell you where they want to meet. An opening rally for a week of action will occur at noon on Wednesday, November 4th at the North Park Blocks. And they go on talking about all of this crap and how Trump is bad and nasty. And everybody that believes in Trump is bad and nasty and all of this crap. And what we need to do is we need to have the People's Strike campaign and have nationwide sustained resistance after the election and international resistance to fascism, blah, blah, blah. This is the standard communist BS. And they have the principles that they're going to follow. Number one, no Trump, no election theft. Number two, Black Lives Matter, end racist policy. Three, decolonize. This is indigenous land. Four, mutual aid. Share resources. Five, neighborhood organizing. Build neighborhood assemblies. Six, take direct action. Disrupt business as usual. This is part of the plan, and I've been noticing this plan for 6 months now. They want to disrupt business as usual. I'm business. They want to disrupt me. They come and they try and do that. Well, let's just put it this way. Up here in North Idaho, we follow the three S's. Number seven, housing is a right. Resist evictions. Eight, reproductive justice. Defend the right to choose. Nine, strike for power. Our labor is ours. Until a corporation says, you know, had enough of your crap. You know, I'll tell you something. This thing, strike for power. Our labor is ours. Years ago, I worked for American Can in Sacramento. And at the time, going rate for labor was about $3 an hour, $3 to $5 an hour. I was making $12 an hour. I worked 10 hours a day. There was a union. They decided they were going to strike for power, so they went on strike. To make a long story short, American Can said, get off a strike or we're closing the plant. The union said, we don't believe you. They closed the plant. They moved up into Oregon, and the place where they moved has a big sign above the door said, no union representatives allowed. Number 10, build urban-rural connections. 11, solidarity with all oppressed people. 12, we protect us, we defend ourselves. 13, migrant justice and border militarization. 14, support worldwide liberation, stop the global fascist agenda, blah, 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 blah. Standard communist BS. So basically what this is, they're going to have a week of action from starting right after the election. There's other warnings out there, lots of them. There's a lot of other warnings out there about what's going to be happening. It's going to be happening starting about 3 to 4 days before the election, and then afterwards it's going to get worse. There has been rumors, not rumors. There's actually somebody called me and said, you know that there are people here in Portland, Oregon, armed, standing at the door to the polling places, to where you go in and vote. And when asked, they said that they were hired by Trump to guard the polling places. Well, those are fraudulent, and they've already been arrested by law enforcement. Actually, only one guy has been arrested, and this is all through Oregon and Washington. They're pulling this crap. These are Antifa or other communist groups, and they're lying to everyone. Nobody, no Republican would ever do that. So, no, it's not happening. Law enforcement nationwide have received Department of Homeland Security briefings on possible riots happening right as the election occurs, which is November 3rd, right? Even though, what is it, almost 60 million people have voted already. Let's see now. Biden pledges, now we're under Trump, right? So everything Trump and the derivatives of that are in here. Biden pledges to sign a bill that would force schools to allow male athletes into girls' sports. So you get a transvestite, a transgender, 90% of them are transvestites, which means some guy that pretends he's a female. So they get this, they want these males to participate in girls' sports, and Biden says he's going to do that. There's this fraud that's been perpetrated all this week on the mainstream media. I've seen it on every station, including Fox News, that over 525 children have been separated from their parents at the border, and they can't find their parents now. First off, it's a lie. That's a fraud. What was happening, and this has been reported widely, what has been happening is that the Mexican criminals will buy or kidnap children in Mexico and pretend that they're children at the borders to get in as a family unit. And if the children are taken away from them, then put in a separate holding area, well, those guys, you know, they don't give a damn. They leave. It's that simple. Biden, when he was doing some speech somewhere, he lied about had just being endorsed by a union, which was news to them because the union is pro-Trump. And he's such a liar. He just lies every time he opens his mouth. And then he turns around and says, what am I? But I'm not a liar. You're a liar. They had a Biden ad that played. And this is from that same company, Midas Touch, where they had this guy they interviewed with a beard who says that he was a struggling bar owner. And because of Trump's rules, he can't make money and he's thinking of closing and all of this crap. And when I saw the ad, I'm thinking, now there's something stinky in Denmark here. Turned out the guy, he's just a Biden supporter. He's a wealthy tech CEO. He's a liar. I got this to read. This is Biden's 11 lies from the debate. I watched the debate. You guys watched the debate? It was pretty good. The moderator just shocked the hell out of everyone. She was extremely professional and did everything exactly the way she was supposed to have done it. So here's his lies. Number one, no one lost their insurance under Obamacare. Number two, and he's talking about the United States. We had a good relationship with Hitler before he invaded Europe. What? We didn't. No, at all, in any way, shape, or form. So just on and on and on and on. Let's see, what was another one here? I never opposed fracking. This was funny. So Trump said, you know, you're going to shut down oil production and you oppose fracking. And Biden turned to him with this big eyeballs and says, you're lying. You're not telling the truth. I have never said I was opposed to fracking. And Trump goes, well, we have it. It's on video. And Biden goes, put it on your website. Well, Trump did.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
I'll put it on.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No. We would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated. No new fracking. You got to transition away from it. You're going to ban fracking all across America right now, right?
I would love to.
Yeah. I'd love to, too. I'd love to make sure we don't use any oil or gas. Period. The look in my eyes. I guarantee we're going to end fossil fuel. We're not going to get rid of fossil fuels.
And then he went on and said, I didn't oppose Trump's China travel ban. And, okay, and, you know, I could have recordings of every single thing that Joe lied about and play it back on you. After you, Trump mentioned something about the catch and release program for the illegals that Obama was doing, and Biden says illegal aliens show up for asylum hearings after being caught and released. This is the thing they're saying. Yeah, we turn them loose and say come back in like 2 or 3 years and we'll have an asylum hearing for you. Yeah, 87% disappeared. Raising the minimum wage does not hurt anyone. Yes, it does. It costs products more, and then owners fire people. No one brought up Biden's troubling Ukraine conflicts of interest during the impeachment. Oh, come on. Everybody brought that one up. And then these are what things that he said. Trump never told Putin to stop meddling in American elections. Right. Oh, and Hunter's emails are part of a Russian plan. Yeah. Trump has refused to take responsibility for the coronavirus. Trump has alienated all of our allies. Just this morning, I noticed how Trump has brokered a peace treaty between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Come on. It was astounding. It was funny. Even CNN came out and called Biden a liar a half a dozen times. And they don't say he was a liar. They say he was factually irresponsible. Factually irresponsible. All right, let's continue on with this facade. The computer shop. You know the whole story about Hunter Biden's laptop showing up at this computer shop and then being turned into the FBI and the guy keeping copies of it. It turned in at the Mac shop, a Wilmington, Delaware computer repair store. And yeah, it's 3,000 miles from Biden's California home. But there is a Beau Biden Foundation for the Protection of Children, a group that has listed Hunter Biden as a board member since 2016, has an address that's just a short way up the road from the computer repair shop. So there's an excuse for Hunter to be in the area. And then just as along with that is one of the Delaware homes that belongs to Joe Biden. Okay. So there's a lot of different reasons why Hunter could have been in the area and could have dropped that thing off. There's so much data there. It's astounding. And it all points right at the Biden crime syndicate. The New York Police Department commissioner personally reviewed the whole file. And he said, both of these people need to be in handcuffs now. Then we have an ex-Biden business partner. He broke his silence. The idea is he wanted to get the news out before he sort of had a Clinton. Having a Clinton is when you commit suicide by having your hands duct taped together behind your back and shooting yourself in the forehead with a shotgun.
My name is Tony Bobulinski. I served as a lieutenant in the United States Navy with high security clearance. Since leaving the Navy, I've been involved in various successful businesses, both in this country and abroad. I'm making this statement to set the record straight about the involvement of the Biden family, Vice President Biden, his brother Jim Biden, and his son Hunter Biden in dealings with the Chinese. I have heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden. I have also heard that Vice President Biden said on Tuesday that Senator Ron Johnson, the chair of the Senate Homeland Security Committee, should be ashamed for suggesting that Biden family sought to profit from their name. Well, here are the facts I know, and everything I'm saying is corroborated by emails, WhatsApp chats, agreements, documents, and other evidence, and the American people can judge for themselves. I brought for record 3 phones that spanned the years 2015 through 2018. These phones have never been held by anybody else besides myself. I was told this past Sunday by somebody who was also involved in this matter that if I went public this information, it would bury all of us, man, the Bidens included. I have no wish to bury anyone. I've never been political. The few contributions I have made have been to Democrats. But what I am is a patriot and a veteran. To protect my family name and my business reputation, I need to ensure that the true facts are out there. In late 2015, I was approached by James Gillier, whom I had known for many years, about joining him in a deal which he said would involve the Chinese state-owned enterprise, CEFC China Energy, and what he called one of the most prominent families in the United States. I was informed first by Gillier and then by Hunter Hunter Biden and by Rob Walker, who was working with the Bidens, that the Bidens wanted to form a new entity with CFC, which was to invest in infrastructure, real estate, and technology in the U.S. and around the world. And the entity would initially be capitalized with $10 million and then grow to billions of dollars of investment capital. After months of discussion, I agreed at Gilliar and Hunter Biden's request to become CEO of the entity to be called Sinohawk. Sino representing the Chinese side, Hawk representing Hunter Biden's brother Bo's favorite animal. And between February and May 2017, we exchanged numerous emails, documents, and WhatsApp messages concerning Sinohawk and its potential business. On May 2nd, 2017, the night before Joe Biden was to appear at the Milken Conference, I was introduced to Joe Biden by Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. At my approximately hour-long meeting with Joe that night, we discussed the Biden's history, the Biden's family business plans with the Chinese, with which he was plainly familiar, at least at a high level. After that meeting, I had numerous communications with Hunter, Walker, Gilliar, and Jim Biden regarding the allocation of the equity ownership of Sinohawk. On May 13, 2017, I received an email concerning allocation of equity, which says 10% held by H for the big guy. In that email, there's no question that H stands for Hunter, big guy for his father, Joe Biden, and Jim for Jim Biden. In fact, Hunter often referred to his father as the big guy or my chairman. On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face to face. In fact, I was advised by Gilliar and Walker that Hunter and Jim Biden were paranoid about keeping Joe Biden's involvement secret. I also had a disagreement with Hunter about the funds CFC was contributing to Sinohawk. Hunter wanted $5 million of those funds to go to himself and his family, so he wanted the funds wired directly to an entity affiliated with him. I objected because that was contrary to our written agreements concerning Sinohawk. He said, referring to the chairman, his father, that CFC was really investing in the Biden family, that he held the Trump card, and that he was the one putting his family legacy on the line. He also said to me on May 17th, 2017, that CFC wanted to be my partner, to be partner with the Bidens. During these negotiations, I repeated to Hunter and others that Sinohawk could not be Hunter's personal piggy bank, and I demanded that proper corporate governance procedures be implemented for capital distributions. Hunter became very upset with me. CFC, through July 2017, was assuring me the funds would be transferred to Sinohawk, but they were never sent to our company. Instead, I found out from Senator Johnson's September report that the $5 million was sent in August 2017 to entities affiliated with Hunter. Tomorrow, I will be meeting with the Senate committee members concerning this matter, and I will be providing to the FBI the devices which contain the evidence corroborating what I have said. So I will not be taking any questions at this time. The evidence sits on these three phones. I don't want to go into anything any further. This will all be discussed with Senator Johnson and his committee, and the American people can decide what's fact.
I have a lengthy article, and I'll have the link up for you, on how the Biden family was compromised by China. You know, in 2011, Biden was pushing for China to become a world power. He would meet with the president of China or the dictator of China, whatever word they want to use. So in other words, if Biden ever gained power, you can forget about it. Everything's moving to China. There's no question about it. This is election season, right? So everybody's out there running for office, is making a lot of hoo-rah about it. So the abomination is out. He's stumping for Biden. And there is a video out there, which I can't copy it because it's on a program. It's on a website that doesn't allow me to copy, but it's a picture of the abomination doing a speech. And the guy that's holding the camera, it's a covert camera, obviously, does a 360 degrees. He looks around. There's nobody there yet. I mean, well, who's there? There's CNN, MSNBC, the rest of the communist news networks, and the aides that are helping the abomination. And there's nothing. It's empty space. Yet they had a car parade for Trump in Arizona. It stretched for 30 miles. 30 miles. And no, they weren't social distancing. It was a car parade. I saw videos of it. You go on YouTube and write, just do a search, Trump's car parade, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now I have a recording. This is a whining from the communist elites in the United States when Trump was elected in 2016. I'm also going to get the one after he's reelected in 2020 and play it. I'm going to compare them together. But for now, you get to listen to this one.
This is the time for real wisdom. Lightning round.
If Trump wins, how about bursting into tears and screaming for the next 45 minutes?
Well, America is crying tonight. I'm not sure how much of America, but a very, very significant portion. And I mean literally crying.
Everybody is crying and so upset. And it is the end of their world.
Feels like the end of the world.
We were on Lifetime last night. And I was slowly getting drunk is what happened to me.
How do we explain how this is possible?
How did this happen? Experienced politician versus racist fake gynecologist.
Get your abortions now, because we're going to be fucked, and we're going to have to live with it.
You're awake, by the way. You're not having a terrible, terrible dream. Also, you're not dead, and you haven't gone to hell. This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country.
This is a different earth today than it was 24 hours ago. It's a different place. It just is different.
The woman who President Obama called the most qualified person ever to run for the White House couldn't break through. The question remains, who can?
Deeper concerns tonight that the world's shining light of democracy has gone dark.
Decency lost last night, and that's what's so hurtful about this.
This was a white lash. This was a white lash against a changing country. It was a white lash against a black president in part. And that's the part where the pain comes.
I kind of push back against the advancement of African Americans, of Hispanics, of women, of Muslim Americans.
It is a mourning moment for those people, and it is a moment filled with fear.
Because I'm on this network and people know my attitudes about things. They come up to me and they're scared, depressed, despair, desperate even, almost clinging to me.
It was a rough night for everybody, I think. We're worried. The people are worried. Okay, he's the president. Now what?
It feels like we're trying to avoid the apocalypse and half of the country is voting for the asteroid.
Is there a doomsday plan for a time like this? Am I right to ask about a doomsday plan? Do you see this as a doomsday scenario?
So if Donald Trump is democratically elected and your son is serving as a Marine, you wouldn't trust his life under that commander-in-chief? And Kane said, I wouldn't. That's a pretty extraordinary thing to say. If you have a son in the Marine Corps and that you don't trust the commander-in-chief, the people in the military defend the Constitution.
I can't put a happy face on that. And that's my job.
This is the first time throughout this entire race where I'm officially shitting my pants. I genuinely do not understand how America can be this disorganized or this hateful.
How do you govern when your whole campaign was built on the hatred of somebody else?
From slavery to, Nazism. We have faced challenges before to who we are as a people.
Plus the Supreme Court, who knows where that's going to go. So the only checks and balances we have are us.
Oh. The best ad campaign, the best ground game. This is a shot against meritocracy, I think, because she merited everything. The normal way you standardize these things, she did what she's supposed to do to win.
She was Hillary Clinton, the most qualified candidate, the best suited for the job, the best temperament. Now we're hearing not a good candidate.
History is put on hold yet again.
We have no idea who won. And to cover our bases, we taped two different show opens. First up, here's the outcome I'm hoping for. Hillary Clinton is the next president of the United States. But just in case the unthinkable has happened and Donald Trump is our new president, the show open would look something like this.
There's another 2 hours of elitist whining and crying and screaming and all of this crap. But I figured that would get the point across to you. Now, the news team from 60 Minutes did an interview with Trump. There was a big thing with this. This is a big deal. They did an interview with Trump. He's the only he's the only president ever to purposely sit down with a communist news network and let them interview him. And he's won in the interviews each time. Now, 60 Minutes, I saw the original uncut video. That means not from them, from one of Trump's staffers. She was nude. She was not nude. She was rude. Maybe if she was nude, it would have gone better. But she was rude. She was insulting. She was degrading. She came flat out and almost as much as called Trump a liar many times. Okay. Then they claimed that he left the interview before it was over. And that I think it was supposed to be played, I'm not sure, on the 25th or 6th or 7th. I don't remember. It's supposed to be played sometime. Well, as soon as Trump sees the advertisements for the interview with him, he goes, you know what? Here, put this on Facebook. And the whole interview is on Facebook. And I have a copy of that, and I'm going to post all of that. You guys, you can see yourself how they do this. I met this guy. I got to tell you a story about a guy, and he's you know who he is. His name's Rush Limbaugh. I met him in early 80s. He's the same age I am, same height. He was a little heavier than I am at the time, and he was working for KCRA Radio in Sacramento. I think that's where it was, KCRA. So he was doing a live spot out at Philco Electronics in Sacramento, and that's where I met him. I went out there, and I talked to him, and no big deal. I mean, he's a nice guy. He was just a guy. He was just a radio host at the time. And he ended up in New York City and got syndicated and all of this stuff. And it was kind of funny because as soon as he got syndicated and people wanted to talk to Rush Limbaugh on the phone, they'd call him, and he had an 800 number. The first time he comes out and gives that 800 number, my phone died. It was locked up. We couldn't call out. Nobody could call in. I couldn't figure out what's going on. And then we discovered that Rush Limbaugh's 800 number was one digit off of ours. So I called his office, told him who I was, actually talked to him, and he apologized. He goes, "I'll have that changed immediately." And it was, but it was funny. Rush Limbaugh got famous, and we got shut down. But anyway, there's been something happening with Rush Limbaugh, and I want you to listen to this clip.
It's a struggle for me because I had to inform my staff earlier today. I can't escape, even though people are telling me it's not the way to look at it. I can't help but feel that I'm letting everybody down with this. But the upshot is that I have been diagnosed with advanced lung cancer. Diagnosis confirmed by two medical institutions back on January 20th. First realized something was wrong on my birthday weekend, January 12th. And I wish I didn't have to tell you this. And I thought about not telling anybody. I thought about trying to do this without anybody knowing, because I don't like making things about me. But there are going to be days that I'm not going to be able to be here because I'm undergoing treatment or I'm reacting to treatment. And I know that that would inspire all kinds of curiosity with people wondering what's going on. And the worst thing that can happen is when there is something going on and you try to hide it and cover it up, it's eventually going to leak. And then people are going to, "Why didn't you just say it? Why did you try to fool everybody?" And it's not that I want to fool anybody. It's just that I don't want to burden anybody with it. And I haven't wanted to. But it is what it is. And you know me, I'm the mayor of Realville.
And this was released 4 days ago.
Conservative radio host Rush Limbaugh gave his listeners a health update. Rush has been battling stage 4 lung cancer since February. And on his show yesterday, he said the cancer is now terminal and is progressing in the wrong direction. He said his doctors changed his medications in hopes of keeping the cancer at bay for as long as possible.
Bottom line is Rush Limbaugh is dying, and nobody knows how long he has. Doctors cannot predict somebody's death. He could live another 10 years, hit 20 years, who knows? Or he could be dead Monday. Nobody literally knows. But I can tell you this, that Rush Limbaugh created conservative talk radio. There was nobody before Rush. There were a few of us out there that would do call-in. We would call in on some of the normal talk radio shows. Talk radio was always liberal BS. I was one of those people that would call into a station all the time and counter the BS from the commie that was talking at the time. But Rush Limbaugh grabbed the bull by the cojones and never let go. He always said exactly what was going on. But the thing with Rush was that he actually was a little more diplomatic than I am. He was very kind to people. There's no racist bone in his body. And it always astounded him when the commies would call him racist. This is the way he was. He gave us voice. He gave us purpose. He made the world stop for a second and think, "Holy moly, there's somebody out there that thinks just like me," but he puts it in better words than I did. And that's exactly what I feel Rush Limbaugh has done. And I'm sure he'll continue doing it as long as he can. But just so everybody understands, he doesn't have long. This is a problem mentally for people who have been told you're going to die. It's not easy to come to grips with the fact that the body you've inhabited for so long is going to cease to exist and you're out of there. Sometimes people can't take it. Sometimes people do quite a good job of keeping it together like he has done since February. I wish him well. And to commemorate, I want to read you the 35 undeniable truths of life that Rush came up with years ago. Now, they have been updated by him a couple times. Well, actually, I'm not going to read you the original because it's dated now. So I'm going to read you the latest update. These are 35 undeniable truths of life. Number one, there's a distinct singular American culture, rugged individualism and self-reliance, which made America great. Number two, the vast majority of the rich in this country did not inherit their wealth. They earned it. They are the country's achievers, producers, and job creators. Three, no nation has ever taxed itself into prosperity. Four, evidence refutes liberalism. Five, there's no such thing as a new Democrat. Six, the Earth's ecosystem is not fragile. Seven, character matters. Leadership descends from character. Eight, the most beautiful thing about a tree is what you can do with it after you cut it down. Nine, Ronald Reagan was the greatest president of the 20th century. 10. The 1980s was not a decade of greed, but a decade of prosperity. It was the longest period of peacetime growth in American history. Number 11. Abstinence prevents sexually transmitted disease and pregnancy every time it's tried. Number 12. Condoms only work during the school year. Number 13. Poverty is not the root cause of crime. Number 14, there's a simple way to solve the crime problem. Obey the law, punish those who do not. 15, if you commit a crime, you are guilty. 16, women should not be allowed on juries where the accused is a stud. 17, the way to improve our schools is not more money, but the reintroduction of moral and spiritual values as well as the four R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, and Rush. 18. I am not arrogant. 19. My first 35 undeniable truths are still undeniably true. 20. There is a God. 21. There is something wrong when critics say the problem with America is too much religion. Number 22. Morality is not defined by individual choice. 23. The only way liberals win national elections is by pretending they're not liberals. 24. Feminism was established as to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream of society. 25. Follow the money. When somebody says, it's not the money, it's always the money. 26. Liberals attempt through judicial activism what they cannot win at the ballot box. Number 27. Using federal dollars as a measure, our cities have not been neglected but poisoned with welfare dependency funds. Number 28, progress is not striving for economic justice or fairness, but economic growth. 29, liberals measure compassion by how many people are given welfare. Conservatives measure compassion by how many people no longer need it. Number 30, compassion is no substitute for justice. 31, the culture war is between the winners and those who think they're losers who want to become winners. The losers think the only way they can become winners is by banding together all the losers and then empowering a leader of the losers to make things right for them. Number 32. The Los Angeles riots were not caused by the Rodney King verdict. The Los Angeles riots were caused by rioters. Number 33. You could afford your house without your government if it weren't for your government. 34. Words mean things. 35. Too many Americans can't laugh at themselves anymore. Those are Rush Limbaugh's undeniable truths of life. I have them printed up and posted on a wall right here in my store where everybody can see them. And I'll have the link to this page so you can have them yourself.
Now we're going to get into something that apparently is disappearing from the way of life of all humans on Earth. It's called communication. I'm going to teach you how to communicate properly and why you should communicate properly. You know, the problem that we have is we have these texting things, right? So I can text you. I can text a guy. I can send a message to a guy 5,000 miles away, and he'll get it in seconds. You don't know what he's thinking when he gets this message in any way, shape, or form. And a lot of times, people misunderstand what the messages are, or you got this stupid automatic finishing. You know, you type up a word, and you want to type up think, and it automatically finishes to this or something else. So communication is lost. That's not communicating in any way, shape, or form. That might be throwing some words at somebody, but you have no clue what's happening on the other end. If you think your communication is valid and important enough, then you owe it to both people, you and the person you're talking to actually get your communication across and understood. Communication is not blathering. It's not chattering, prattling, yammering, or any of that crap. It's not like you thinking out loud. That's not it. Communication is like somebody saying, okay, you need to know how to align the CRT on this computer. Let me show you exactly how to do it. Now, are you watching? And the person says, well, yes, I am watching now. All right. That's communication, where you get an idea across to the other person. And that other person acknowledges the fact that he got that idea and he duplicated the idea. So he understands exactly what it is. In physics, we'll put it this way. Communication is the consideration and action of impelling an impulse or particle from source point across a distance to receipt point with the intention of bringing into being at the receipt point a duplication and understanding of that which is emanated from the source point. Very simple formula, isn't it? So the problem that we have is that people don't understand the whole concept of communication. They don't understand the prerequisite to communicating. They don't understand the necessity of communicating or why it should be done right. Any of you out there who have ever had to hire people, which of these two people are you going to hire? The person that when you ask, why are you applying here, he stammers and looks down and says, well, I need a job. Okay, I just need a job. Or are you going to hire the guy that says, well, I looked at the places that were hiring out there, and I wanted the one where I felt that I could do the most good at, and I think this is going to be it. One of them communicated, and the other one just sort of blah. Didn't even get any thought process whatsoever across. The success level of a person in their life, and this is in all facets. This is with girls. This is with guys. This is with teachers. This is in business. It's linked directly to your communication ability. It is directly with that. If you can understand the basics of good communication and make sure others around you understand what you're saying, and you're able to communicate your thoughts to others around you, your life is going to be so much better. This is what good writers do. They can communicate to you via words on a page. You read this and you're seeing in your mind everything that this person is writing. I have a couple writers I'm going to interview in a few weeks, and they've written some very well-known books, and I'll explain it all to you at a later date. But I have some of their other books coming to me. I've got to read them so I can review them, and so I know what the hell I'm talking about when I interview them. But this is how communication works. You have to be sure of what you're saying. You have to be sure, basically, of why you're saying it. The key behind communicating is this. You have to be there. The prerequisite for playing the game of life is to be there. Have you ever heard somebody give a lecture or give a talk, and you can tell they just did not want to be there? To put the term half-assed, that would probably be one step up from their talk that they gave, because they didn't want to be there. You have to want to be there. And whether you want to be there or not is irrelevant. Just be there. If you're going to talk, let's say you've got a 15-year-old guy and he wants to take this 15-year-old girl out to a date. If he is so afraid of communicating to her and asking her on a date, he's not there. Okay? It's real simple. Then, once you're there, you have to confront the person that you're communicating to. Now, here, I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into this. You might have to communicate to not a person. Maybe you have to communicate to an electrical device. Or maybe you have to communicate to the engine of your car. It's the same thing. You have to be there, and you have to be confronting it. And when I say communicate to an engine, let's say you try and start your engine, and all it does is go, well, now you've got to get out and find out why it's not sparking, why it's not igniting, why it's not starting to run. So this is the form of communication. This is the physical form of communication, where you reach down and you start feeling around in the engine, and you look and you're trying to do a diagnostic. So you're going to pull apart a spark plug wire, and then you're going to test to see if there's spark coming out of that. And if there is spark coming out of that, well, your engine just communicated to you that there's spark coming here, so it's not electrical, it's got to be in the gas system. So then you check the fuel pump to make sure it's pumping gas up to the carburetor. So your engines talk to you, and they tell you what's going on, but you have to listen. And again, the prerequisite is being there. So you be there. Obviously, you're physically there. You've got to be emotionally there. And you have to confront it. So that's the thing, is you have to not just be there. You have to have your attention on the item you're confronting. So you will talk to the girl, and you have an intention. The intention is, now we're back to the 15-year-olds. The intention is that he wants to ask her on a date. So your intention is that she's going to get the communication from you. Will you go out on a date with me? And you intend that to go directly to her. And you want her to understand what you said. And you want her, obviously, to say yes. That's the thing. There's some particles to this. But there's some of the physical aspects that have to be covered when you're communicating. You have to make sure the person you're talking to can even hear you. How many times have somebody talked to you out of a room or down the street or outside expecting you to hear every word they say? Okay, you, as the originator of the communication, need to make sure that person can hear you. My wife does this thing. I have a stereo speaker right at the head of my chair in the front room. So I have the television on, and I have the stereo on, and the speaker's right at my head, and she's in the kitchen, and all I hear is, I don't have no idea what that is. She comes in and goes, "Why didn't you answer me?" Well, what did you say? I have no idea. So make sure the person you're talking to can even hear you. Or is that person near a loud sound source? Is the person in the same room as you, in the house with you? One of the rules my dad gave me was look them in the eye. Well, you can't look at somebody in the eye if they're not near you. So make sure the person you're talking to can hear you. And then pay attention to the other party. Look them directly in the eye, like my dad said. Look them in the eye. Don't stare and get a little weird on them, you know, just look at them. Remember what you're talking to them about, and don't get deterred. You have a reason for talking. Act like it. You have to intend that your communication gets to them. It's almost like the difference between electricity and amperage. Electricity is the communication. Amperage is the push you're using to get it to the other party. Make sure you acknowledge communications. Somebody says something to you, they have to know that you got it. So somebody says something to you and says, they say, "Look, would you do me a favor? Hand me that 223 brush, would you please?" And you get this, you get blank. That's not an acknowledgement. You'd say, "Which one's the 223 brush?" Or, "Sure, here." You acknowledge a communication. Somebody talks to you. Somebody who's upset talks to you. When someone's upset, they want you to get that communication. Make sure they know that you did. Now, sometimes people will start talking, okay, and then they sort of lose their place. Well, you can do what's known, it's a slight acknowledgement. It's not a full-blown, "Yep, I got that." It's more like, "Yeah, go on, what else, go on." It's like a half acknowledgement. Make sure that you can use that tool. Sometimes people think that you're not interested in what they're saying, and maybe you're not. But if somebody's talking to you and they sort of fade out a little bit or they lose their train of thought, you can help them a little bit by pulling it out some. And if you're asking somebody something, if you're talking to somebody, persist until you get an acknowledgement. Persist. You can do that. Mostly you have to do this, well, let's put it another way. Mostly you had to do this with children. You would say, "Johnny, would you come over here, please? Johnny, would you come over here, please?" This is persistence in the communication, and that's usually what you would have to do with children until they learn that they need to answer a communication. And this is unfortunately what's happening now in society. We've lost four generations, and I've said this many times. We've lost four generations to stupid and ignorance. So now we're having to do this to 40-year-olds. You have to persist to get your question answered. And other people's communications are important too. The thing is that generally, when people talk, they feel they have something that's important that they want you to hear. This is generally. You do have the psychotics in society that just continually talk because something in their mind is telling them that nobody ever listens to them anyway, so they have to keep talking so that people will always listen to them, so they someday somebody will acknowledge their presence. It's this, you acknowledge somebody when they communicate to you. Do you know something? I'll make this story short because I don't want to get into it, but I got put in Ward 13 at Norfolk Hospital. And many of you will know what Ward 13 is. You might have been put there, or you might have heard jokes about it. Ward 13 is where they put the crazies. One flew over the cuckoo's nest, in other words, type ward. And I got put in there. I pissed off a psychiatrist one night, Friday night. Wrong time to piss off a psychiatrist. If you're going to piss off a psychiatrist, do it on a Monday. I did it on Friday, so he just grabbed me by the arm, marched me upstairs, and put me in Ward 13. He opened the door, pushed me in, closed the door. Boom. The orderly comes to me and says, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I just got put in by this shrink out here." And he goes, "Oh, crap. Okay, well, here, put these clothes on. We can't talk to him until Monday." Monday. So I had to wear a green suit. Well, I was in there the Friday night, and then Saturday morning, the guy next to me, from the moment I was in there, he sat on his neatly made cot, and he had a chessboard sitting in front of him. And he had the white, and black was sitting on the other side, where somebody else, I thought, was sitting playing him a game. Except he'd only moved his white pawn, one white pawn. And I noticed that Friday night, I didn't think anything. Saturday morning, I get up, I shower, I go eat, come back. He's still sitting there, with the chessboard sitting there. So I sat down, and I moved black pawn. And the next thing you know, him and I were having a conversation playing chess. After the first game, I had to go to the bathroom, and I got up, and the orderly came to me in the bathroom and said, "What did you say to him? How did you talk? He hasn't talked in a year." And I said, he was talking to me. Couldn't you hear him? He was sitting there saying, "Somebody please play with me." So I said, "Sure." This is the power of communication. I have taking people out of a coma-like state with communication. I have put people in a coma with a communication. So communication is very, very powerful on both ends, on sending and receiving. Sometimes a simple acknowledgement changes a person's whole life. I was downtown Sacramento years ago, and there was this, you call him a street person, really shabby guy walking along, just talking. He'd come up to everyone and mumble a bunch of words and then turn around and walk off. Every person he'd come up to and mumble a bunch of words and walk off. And he came up to me, mumbled a bunch of words, and started to walk off. I said, "Hold on, I didn't get that." So he stopped, turned around, and he said, and I quote, "I don't really know where I am." And I'm thinking to myself, if that's what he said to all of these people, what the hell's wrong with people? And no, that's not what he said to all these people. He tried to say it to all the people, but nobody cared. So he just mumbled it. He got into what's known as a circuit. It's a mental circuit. Same thing over and over and over and over again. And I said, "Wait, hold on, I didn't get that. What did you say?" I acknowledged his communication. And as soon as he said, I acknowledged it, he said, "Oh, I don't really know where I am." And I said, "Oh, you're downtown Sacramento. Do you need to go somewhere?" And he said, "Yeah, I need to get a hold of my family." So there was a cop on the corner, and I went over to the cop, and I said, "Hey, this guy needs to get a hold of his family. Can you help him?" And the cop said, "Sure." Communication is something that you shouldn't blow off. People should blow it off too easy. The idea is that you have more power than you can ever imagine. And if you intend to get a communication to somebody, they will get it. But the parts that you have to understand is that communication has to be done with intention. You have to intend your communication to get to somebody. One of the things that I teach people is this. Mock up a marble, a little golden marble, and you put it in the center of a person's head that you're talking to. And that's where you put your attention, that golden marble, right in the center of that person's head. And you say, "John, can you come over here, please, so we can talk about blankety blank?" Or you would say, "Wilma, I need to have something done to this statistical report that you brought to me yesterday. Can you come over? We can do this." You communicate to that. You ever get the person that talks to you, you're like 4 feet away, and they go, "Hi, how you doing?" Or the person, you're 20 feet away, and they go, "Hey, Kurt, can you hear me, Kurt? Can you hear me? Okay, they aren't putting their intention where it should be. So this takes a millisecond. You just create in your mind a spot in the middle of the person's head, and you talk to that spot. You might have to talk a little loud. You might have to talk a little soft. But once you know where that spot is, you have full control of your ability to communicate to it. Words are important. Now, everything that I'm telling you takes milliseconds to do. So think what you're going to say, and then say it. Make sure you are pointing at the right direction. Make sure that person can hear you. I just saw this. I was at the store on Sherman Avenue. There was a store there, and I'm inside going out. Now, inside the store, it's calm and quiet. Outside, there's traffic like crazy. So there's a guy inside the store. As I open the door, he's talking to his wife, who's standing outside next to all the traffic. She doesn't even know he's talking because she can't hear him over the traffic. Make sure whoever you're talking to isn't next to a speaker, out of the house, out of the room, 50 feet away, you know? Use some common sense. And then when you can communicate to them, make sure you do like I said. Create a little place right in the middle of their head that you're talking to and intend that your communication gets there. When your communication gets there, look for an acknowledgement. Now, if it's a child, you can teach them to give an acknowledgement that they got the communication. There's nothing so infuriating as you to tell somebody something really important and they stand there with a blank stare. And you just, what, didn't you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. Well, why didn't you let me know you understood what I said? Oh, sorry. It's not taught anymore. How to communicate, why to communicate, it's not taught anymore at all. Not in schools, not in the public schools. So it's a very simple thing, and communication is so powerful. I'm astounded that it hasn't been taught. It can be it is taught. Not the way that I'm thinking and you're thinking, but in propaganda, it's taught, and they're very good at it. They get their point across. They learn how to use certain buttons to make you pay attention and how to force you to obey what they want you to do. But we're only talking about between friends here. We're only talking not just between friends, but we're talking your coworkers. We're talking people that work for you that you want them to do something. And it's very simple. You give them your communication and you make sure, number one, they can hear it. And number two, they acknowledge that they heard you and understood what you were saying. See, there is another circuit that occurs in humans. They'll acknowledge a communication. The boss will say, hey, I need you to take 50 pounds of lead and take it over here and put it on the ladder south of here. Would you please do that? And you'll go, oh, yeah. Well, that's an acknowledgement to the communication, but it doesn't say that they're going to do it and they'll probably forget about it in 30 seconds. There's a lot to life that's very, very, very simple, and this is part of it. Another part is a message to Garcia, and this is what I'll be talking about in the next show if I get the time. Right now, unfortunately, there's so much election crap going on and communist attacks and things like that. Who knows how much time I'm going to have to talk. But being sure of your ability to communicate gives you power. I don't mean power over others. I mean it gives you power. You take a battery. I got a 12-volt battery that holds 13.5 volts. And I have so it's fully loaded, 13.5 volts. So it's full of power. That doesn't mean it's power over somebody. And that's what the communists or Democrats or socialists or whatever will claim. Oh, no, no, you're just trying to learn how to control people, how to be more powerful than other people. No, trying to learn how to communicate in a proper way so that everyone that listens to me gets what I'm saying and understands what I'm saying. And the key is you want the person, the receipt point, to duplicate what you're saying. If I say fried egg and frog legs, I want that person to duplicate in his mind fried egg and frog legs. And that's an important thing. Not everybody can do it. There's a lot of teachers out there that can't do it because they're not there. And what is a prerequisite for communicating is being there. They're not there at all. They're somewhere else on a vacation someday. So they're just going down the routine of reading something out of a book or writing something on the chalkboard or saying, all right, turn to chapter 16 and read that, and that'll last to the end of the class. They're not there. They're not there to communicate. The best teachers I had in my life were ones that actually communicated to us. And they paid attention. And this is another thing, and this is something that you would have to learn. You have to learn how to read people. I have seen in a store here, my son really gets deep into explanations of certain things. So somebody comes in and says, I need some Mylar bags. Well, we don't carry them. Now, me, I would say we don't carry them. But I can tell you where to go to get them. And I tell him where to go to get them. But my son, to this one guy came in, my son said, well, why do you need Mylar bags? And the guy told him, and the son goes, well, you know, there's a couple different ways that you can use them. And then he went off, and for 5 minutes, my son was talking, explaining about Mylar bags. And the guy was edging toward the door the whole time. And I finally came out and said something, and the guy took that as an excuse to bolt. So the key is you have to read your public. You have to read the person you're going to communicate to and determine how much communication you're going to give them. Do you just need to tell this guy, the rifle you bought is a .30-06, go buy some .30-06 ammo? Or do you need to explain to this guy, okay, the rifle you bought is a .30-06, now let me show you the 15 different types of .30-06 ammo that's available that you can buy. So you need to read your public. So if you're going to talk to somebody, depending on what the communication is, it could be an order. So at this point, it doesn't matter what they want to hear. You're going to give them an order, and that's it. You just want to make sure they duplicate it and obey it and do exactly what you said, whatever that is. But if you are talking to somebody like a salesman, you ever heard the saying TMI? That's too much info, too much info. Instead of giving the communication and seeing that, oh, he understands exactly what you're saying and he agrees with everything, they keep on talking. And then you go past the stage of understanding. The person no longer understands. Now he's either getting pissed or confused. So you learn to read your public. Now, the information I give you is just fleeting. But I want you to understand that it's very important. This really gives you power. I want everyone to have as much power as I do in the manner that I communicate. If you've ever been in the store here and talked to me, there's nothing thiety-weedy about me talking. I'm very clear with what I say, and you get everything that I say. You understand it. Whether you agree with it is, you know, that's something else. But at least my communication got to you, and you understood it. And that's the important thing. Anybody who is around you that doesn't understand you, it's because you've not communicated. You need to sit and communicate. Because the more you communicate properly, the more reality you share amongst yourselves. And the more reality you share, the more affinity that you develop between yourselves. You could have two people who hate each other. And if you sit down and communicate back and forth, after a while, you will find levels of agreement and your affinity will therefore go up. Well, I hope I gave you some information. I know I gave you a hell of a lot of information, but I hope it gave you some information to help you. So I'm going to tie this show up now. So Survival Enterprises SE1. .us.
S as in Sam, E as in Edward, numeral 1. .us. 800-753-1981. That's 800-753-1981. You can call up, place an order with us, go online, look at our goods and stuff. Come and visit us. We still have a bunch of Trump flags and Trump hats for sale here in store. $10 each. Oh, by the way, they just had a big Trump rally and car, whatever you call it, at Cabela's in Post Falls this morning. So I had a bunch of guys stop in here and buy flags. Right now, we've got our first snow. Getting cold up here, guys. We went right through fall. Actually, we didn't, because last night there was an explosion and a giant tree limb fell. Boom. Yeah, we had what we call slurg yesterday, and that's wet snow. It is dangerous. It is dangerous. And the leaves haven't fallen yet. Fall is gone. Fall was 4 days. And only maybe 5% of the leaves fell, the rest of them are still green. So when it snowed yesterday, and we got about 4 inches of snow, this slurg coated the leaves, and made them so heavy, it's ridiculous, that it dropped down to 32 degrees last night. So you have a limb that's made to handle, well, I don't know, 200 pounds, and now it's got 600 pounds on it. When those things snap, it literally is like a quarter stick of dynamite going off. And we come to work this morning, and there's half a dozen trees with half of the tree left. So this is, like I always tell people, there's no such thing as normal weather up here. It gets weird every year, different. Anyway, 800-753-1981. Give us a call if you have a question, you want to place an order, come in the store. Please pay attention to what's going on. This is, we are getting right close to the wire, and the enemy is getting ready to cause more problems than this nation has ever had in the past 100 years. So be aware. Keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. And this is the Armchair Survivalist signing off.